Before I introduce our guest, I want to just tell you a brief story of how I met my wife. Melissa and I both went to UC Davis. We started there in the summer of 1993. I don't care about the age. It's fine. We're good. I didn't know her until 94, and then we started dating then. We met, UC Davis is obviously a California university, and we met in a ministry called InterVarsity, which is a college ministry. It was incredible. There were probably maybe, 50, 60 students at the time in it. But what was rich about it is that when we're on campus, as we're walking around, and it's a large campus. If you haven't been to Davis, it's one of the biggest campuses I've ever been at. It's massive because there's a lot of land and they need something to put there. But it's there's bikes but the best part about it is that you start seeing all those people that you connect with on a Friday or in Bible study. You see all around the campus and you're like, oh, this is awesome. I mean, it makes it feel like it's a Christian campus. So it wasn't until my super senior year and her year in getting her teaching credential that we began attending Chi Alpha events. The ministry when we started at Davis in 93, I don't think there may have been just a handful. I don't even know if it started at 93. Will would probably have all the stats on it, but it was small. And when we were attending the church where it kind of started at, but over time, because we were involved in InterVarsity, we're like, well, I think we should stick this out until we get to the place where kind of our fifth year, then we'll move. And we did with a number of our friends were there as well. I just want to let you know that the ministries of Chi Alpha, InterVarsity and otherwise, are so important. If you weren't already aware, it's when college students begin to truly understand, what do I really believe beyond what my parents believe? Like, I grew up with my parents. I know what they believe. But now I get an opportunity to see what I believe myself. And so it's that pivotal time. And then they're going to have all the, especially on these secular campuses, you have all these vices that you get to think about and discover. Is this right for me? Is this where I want to go? And Chi Alpha, which is a Assembly of God ministry into the college campuses, it was so pivotal for our relationship with the Lord. It transformed us from just Christians that we would just go to church and kind of do our thing, to mature believers where we were beginning to actually walk and talk like Jesus and make mistakes. But you get a chance to witness and be on campus and be challenged. And so I hold in high regard folks like Glenn and Paula Davis, who've been leading ministry in Stanford for decades. And equally as such, when we left, and we left in 98, right as we left that summer, in the fall, a gentleman named Will Clear was starting at UC Davis. And a few years later, as he began to grow up in the ministry, and he's going to tell you a better story than I, but to summarize, he and his wife, Jen, have been leading Chi Alpha ministry at UC Davis for 22 years. And it's impressive. We got a chance to talk with them a few years after we left, and they came to our home, and we were just impressed with their heart, wondering if it's for real, the zeal that he had. And it hasn't changed. And so I'm just grateful to invite you, Will. Why don't you come up and speak this morning?
Wow, thank you, Sean. I'm so encouraged, man. I'm getting a little weepy up here. I'm just thinking about the fact that the people that you invested in as you were leaving Davis invested in my life, and that's who I am today is because of your yes to Jesus and because of their yes to Jesus. And really, it's all of us. We are all here because somebody poured into our lives. You know, the Great Commission started with those disciples as they went out to carry on the message of Jesus. And here we all are, right? Because someone said yes and passed it on. Making disciples who make disciples. So, man, so encouraged. But yes, yeah, I'm great to be here. It's been a while since I've been here to share an update of what this church is a part of reaching UC Davis. And thank you, Sean, for making that connection here to Abundant Life, because he started supporting our ministry after he graduated, and now this church has been a part of this work at Davis for many years. And this morning, I just want to share the testimony of what God has done. And again, what your yes to partnering with us, how lives are being changed there, just about an hour and a half away, depending on traffic. You know, there's some construction going on 680 right now. But real quickly, my family, I think we got a picture here. My wife, Jennifer, she's not here this morning, but here's a photo. She took over the ministry after Henry Moreau, who was a part of it, when Sean was there. And then I married Jen, and again, we've been directing the ministry together for all these years. And our oldest daughter, Joy, the redhead, and then Mercy, and then Liam, who actually is here with me this morning. So we got Joy, Mercy, and Liam, the 17, 15, and Liam right here. You want to stand up. This is my 13-year-old son. He is 6 foot tall and 210. There he is. He's like, you know, he's getting ready for a boxing match. Going to give his stats there for you. But he's my man child right there. But he goes with me places. And we had fun this morning. You guys put us up in a hotel. Thank you so much. And Peter, we carpooled last night because we had our big talent show last night with our students. It was so fun. So we left after that. And he took the car, but the hotel had bikes. So we biked to church this morning. It was just like in true Davis fashion. If you don't know, Davis is a bike town. So that was really fun. But yeah, so I found this ministry, Chi Alpha, you know, day one of my college career at UC Davis, and really found a home away from home and a place for me, already following Jesus as an 18-year-old, to grow in my walk with the Lord, and really to capture God's heart for mission, to see the university as a mission field. And you guys know very well that it is one of the most strategic mission fields, I believe. 40,000 students. Davis reports 140 nations represented on their campus, and 7,500 international students. It's incredible the opportunity that we have to reach the nations and the future generation. And I just want to give a quick video report again, just so you can put some faces and see some visuals of what's been happening at UC Davis. And then I want to share some specific stories and just some encouragement from Scripture as we're going after our identity. I love that here that this church is focusing on that. And hopefully this morning you'll capture more of all of our identity collectively in Christ with the encouragement I have to bring. And I've been blessed by the ministry of this church. And I got to go out to Tennessee with a group of you back in February to sit under Jamie Winship's ministry. And I've been very blessed by that. And we're praying what we can bring him to do an outreach at UC Davis. So maybe this church can help us with that. That'd be amazing to encourage Jamie. Come on, let's go up an hour and a half. Then we can ride bikes. It'll be great, you know. But let's watch this video, and again, you can see firsthand just some of the things you've been a part of. We are really living in a special season at UC Davis, so check it out.
Hey, it's Will Clear, your U.S. missionary with Chi Alpha Campus Ministries here at UC Davis. In our 32-year history with Davis Christian Fellowship, we've seen amazing things happen. We've calculated an estimated 2,000 students have been involved here with this ministry over these past three decades plus. Not only that, we've had 500 students go on spring and summer short-term missions trips, and 70 of our alumni have given a year or more on the mission field, both locally and abroad. In the midst of this amazing history, we believe we're living in one of the most powerful moments yet for the Davis Christian Fellowship story. And really, you've been a part of it, friends. This past year, I've kind of looked at this year as an outpouring. We have seen in California, you may know, in the natural, a record rainfall like never before. We literally, during September, welcome week last year, it was raining. I've never seen that happen in my 25 years here at Davis before. And that kind of pattern continued throughout the academic year. In the winter, we had the Asbury College outpouring in Kentucky. And my wife and I, we got to go out there and see what God was doing. It was miraculous, with lives being transformed, students surrendering all to Jesus. And then we had the 1970 Jesus Movement story in the Jesus Revolution film that was released as well. That really inspired today's student to believe for the generation. And friends, I'm here to report that God's doing it at UC Davis, with 150 students gathering weekly for worship in a lecture hall, you know, 29 of our students leading Bible studies all throughout the week, and really, life's being changed here on these properties right across the street from campus. So many of you have been a part of our story with these properties right by campus, seeing the transformation from the little shack built in 1906 that was transformed in 1999 to the DCF House, to in 2016 launching the Glory House campaign, a live-in residence, a discipleship community, and expanding our footprint literally 10 yards from the busiest corner of campus. And really, I'm happy to report today that in the midst of this outpouring, with this spring, we had 31 students say they've committed their life or recommitted their life to Jesus. That in the midst of all what God's doing, that we've seen an outpouring through your generosity with the resources to see a dream fulfilled. That's right. Here in the seventh year of the Glory House, number of completion, we are fully funded. The Glory House is paid off. And I just want to make this video and say thank you for being a part of the story here at UC Davis. You see, with this outpouring, I believe God has put a call in Jennifer and I's hearts that we would be a sending place, that Davis is called to be a sending place to other campuses, that we could raise up campus missionaries to help plant a ministry specifically in SoCal. And we've had interns, campus missionaries in training, commit a year after graduation to raise support and to be trained to become a missionary. This year we have three more joining our team, and we're believing that in this coming year that we're gonna send out a team to plant ministry in SoCal. And I'm asking you in this video, as we're seeing one dream fulfilled, to continue to dream with us, to believe that God is doing truly an outpouring, raising up a generation that will live fully for Him and believe not just for our own campus, but for campuses across the state and into the nations. And just like Scripture says, you know, let there be light, and it's the motto of UC Davis, we're believing that the light of Jesus is going to shine, and we are going to continue to go glory from glory. Thank you for being a part of this. We love you. God bless.
All right. Good job, Will. That was a good recap. Isn't it exciting, though, what God is doing? Yeah. I don't know if you guys caught that, but this building project that you were a part of at the very beginning is done. In 7 years, a nearly $1 million campaign to fund that ministry center right across the street from campus. And that property, it got us through COVID, because we were meeting outdoors on that space. On the 800 clubs at UC Davis, we were the only ones, you know, meeting safely in person outdoors. And just so many things have happened through those properties. And now that it's done, it's paid off. And so thank you, church, for being a big part of that. And like I said in the video, we've got another dream. We had a radical encounter. Paula and Glenn, we were all there together. We were meeting as a Chi Alpha team. And just the Lord burdened my heart for SoCal. Chi Alpha, first of all, there's 156 colleges and universities from Fresno to San Diego. That's what the AG calls SoCal. No one really calls Fresno SoCal, but they do. Right now, we do not have an official Chi Alpha chapter serving students on any of those campuses, and that's just not okay with me. And so we are believing that God is going to help us raise up a team to send from Davis to go revitalize Chi Alpha in Southern California. And it was pretty wild. You know, Peter, we were hanging out at my house. We were playing a game of Catan the night before I was taking my first initiative to help go do an event down to help with this SoCal revitalization. And it was the night that the last gift came in the mail to pay off the Glory House property there. So it was kind of wild. It's like, okay, God trusted us with a building. Now He's going to trust us with a region. So, church, thank you for praying for us. It's a big task, but we know God can do it. And we're going to believe that we're going to see laborers raised up from Davis, as we already have. We've seen that over the years, as the video shared. And I just think of that verse in Luke chapter 12 where Jesus says, much is given, much is required. And so we've been blessed at UC Davis, and we're believing that we can be a blessing to further His kingdom purposes for the next generation. So be praying with us for that. Last March, actually, we took a spring break missions team down to SoCal from Davis, 15 of our students. We just went praying on campuses. We went from LA County to Orange County, San Diego County. We went to 12 campuses in 8 days. It was a whirlwind tour. But we just would show up on campuses and pray and do some outreach, just seeing if some people were open for conversation. We were at the USC campus, and there's this a group of students. They were the LaCroix ambassadors. They were giving out free LaCroix, and they literally called themselves that. I was like, okay, that works. But we had a conversation that led to Jesus, led to presenting the gospel. And I'm telling you, the honest truth, all three of these students said yes to Jesus on the spot with tears in their eyes and turned to the Lord.
And we had a church planter with us on that trip, and we got to connect them with this LA church planter and his continuing relationship with them to see them discipled and to grow that seed that's been planted. We were on the Cal State San Marcos campus in the San Diego County area. It was wild. I showed up on this little campus. It's on a hill. And the campus, there was a feminist festival going on. There was an open mic night at the same time. It was just bumping. This campus, we were just walking through there. And so our team of 15 students, my family was there. We set up our shoe cleaning station. That's our outreach. Because everybody likes their white shoes. I'm not wearing my white shoes today. But so it's kind of modern-day foot washing, if you will, right? It was actually Holy Week when we were doing this outreach. So we would stop to talk to students and just tell them that, you know, Jesus came to serve and that he's made a way for that, to make us clean inside and take away our shame and our guilt. And we prayed with several students that day. But it was really fascinating to me. I was walking around campus and that open mic night was happening as people are singing all these songs and doing these poetry. And the last song of the night was this freshman kid got up and he sang the song Break Every Chain, that worship song. He just was declaring it over his campus, a little gospel style. And I was blown away. So I approached him afterwards. I'm like, he was shaking because he was so nervous. He was just being obedient to Holy Spirit. And I asked him, are you part of a fellowship here? Or do you have anything, you know, to support you in your faith? And he does not. He did not have a campus ministry. And so it just broke my heart. And I introduced him to our students. And we prayed together that God would raise up a Chi Alpha ministry for that campus. So, but this is an awakening. We're really living in an awakening. I've seen just a hunger in students. Yeah, there's a lot of craziness going on in our world. Specifically, I mean, the SoCal campuses in the last couple of months has been wild. What's been going on there? But students are looking for purpose. They're looking for identity, right? And I believe that we have the hope in what Jesus has given us and that we can be a light, which I love that the motto, which is on every diploma for the University of California, is straight from Genesis 1:3, let there be light. And so we're believing that the light of Jesus will shine through our lives to the nations. And of course, like I mentioned, the international students that are there and the summer missions trips that we do, spring break missions trips, we've been all over the world through the support of this church, sending our students to go to countries like Kyrgyzstan and Japan and Korea, Romania, Mexico, Argentina. This summer, Peter's leading a team to France because we have a couple missionaries, alumni from UC Davis who serve over there. So thank you again for helping us spread the light of Jesus to the nations. Let me tell you a quick story of an international student we met. The testimonies are so fun to share because, again, these are lives that you've impacted just unknowingly. But you'll know one day when you see them in heaven and they'll tell you, yeah, I was part of that ministry at Davis that you helped support. So check this out. Urena, we met her. We were at the International Student Center. It was wild because, like, we were so excited after the pandemic to just go meet students on campus. And Urena was one of these international students. And I'm thinking of the story right now because we got so excited. We like set up like a spinner wheel right in front of the International Center. And then the faculty came out and said, you guys are too close to the building. You guys can't be like this part. So I was like, okay. So we kind of were dejected walking away. And then we met this international student who was walking and we invited her to our barbecue. And Urena came to barbecue. She came to a small group Bible study. And then she came to a Tuesday night worship service with those 150 students worshiping Jesus. And then she came to our fall retreat. And there she shared that she experienced the presence of God. She said it felt like just a warm hug. It's so beautiful. And later that week, we had another conversation with her, and she was ready. There in the kitchen of the DCF house, she surrendered her life to Jesus. And the day before she went back to Japan, we got to baptize her. So that's that photo there. So again, these are stories that you're a part of. But I think of just even the traditional student that we get to reach out to on campus. A couple of our guys, Samuel and Boaz, those are two great biblical names, right? This is a story of biblical proportions. Check this out. They were going on frat row, just doing outreach on a Friday night. And they're kind of their evangelistic strategy was just to go up to people and ask if they can pray for them or read them a scripture. And so you got these students who are buzzed, you know, they're just walking around. And some students, though, I mean, that they're ready, right? You're in the midst of that state. And Reuben, I'm telling you, this is a biblical proportion story, all these Bible names. Reuben, he was ready that night. He was actually visiting from Sac State to go party at UC Davis. And he was receptive. And Samuel and Boaz, they gave him a Bible, invited him to come out to our service. He came, surrendered his life to Jesus. And all from just a simple yes from these two guys to go to frat row. Another week, they went out there, and their friend Carson went with them. That's not in the Bible. Carson and Sam, they were out there one night, and they did, I'm telling you, this is a true story. They met a student named Hezekiah. Now, this kid's a church kid, right? His name is Hezekiah. He tried going by Hezzy for short, but, you know, there's no hiding that. But Hezzy, you know, we met him earlier in the day, actually, because it was freshman orientation, and they invited him out to our welcome events, but then they saw him later at that fraternity outreach, and he was came up to Carson and Sam and was just bragging about all of his exploits that he had done at the party. And Sam and Carson, they said, "Hey, can we read you a verse?" And they read 1 John 1:9. They read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And Hezzy fell to his knees and began to weep. It was just this profound Holy Spirit moment. And, you know, Carson and Sam, they're like, "Okay, what do we do?" They said, "Oh, here, let me drive your bike home so you don't get a BUI." And then they brought him to church the next morning, and just the seed that was planted in this young man's life. So I'm really telling you, we are living in a day of an awakening. Yes, the darkness is dark, but the light is bright. And if we just keep shining, we're going to see good things happen. And I'm extra excited because just like Glenn and Paula here, Dana Davis is at UC Davis. My daughter Joy just got accepted and will be starting this fall. So she graduates high school next week. And so we got another XAMK, that's what we call them, you know, Chi Alpha missionary kids, coming to UC Davis. Yeah, so they're pretty cool there. Like, so God's doing something special, church, I'm encouraged. So I think maybe a couple of the photos we have, just a group photo to share there. There we are at our spring retreat. And again, there's so many people. And I want to thank you, church. You guys have been a place for our alumni to find a home away from home. And not just because, you know, Peter was leading worship here this morning, but when I come to this church, it does feel like a Chi Alpha gathering. You guys love well. There's, like, strong relationships here. You do community. And I know Pastor's going to talk more about that next week. So thank you guys for being a home away from home for our students and alumni. Praise God. Well, I just want to share briefly, just my call to missions started when I was 14 years old. I was on a missions trip to China, smuggling Bibles and from Hong Kong into China. This is before the change in 97 there. But I was on that missions trip, and we were singing an old worship song by Bob Kilpatrick. You know, I don't remember, know this song, but it's "Here Am I, Send Me to the Nations as an Ambassador for You." Yes, anybody know that song? All right, a couple people, right on. But yeah, as I remember that worship song was playing, I felt this stirring in my heart to give my yes to serve in ministry. And I had a 14-year-old kid. I had no idea what that was going to look like, and went through my teenage years, never felt like a call to a specific nation, and didn't really see myself necessarily in the local church. But I found myself on the UC Davis campus, and something clicked. I just found that this was it. This is what God was calling me to do with my full-time energy. And it was a little while into my Chi Alpha experience where I realized that Chi Alpha actually stands for Christ Ambassadors, not LaCroix Ambassadors, but Christ Ambassadors is what Chi Alpha stands for. And this morning, I just want to encourage us, again, as we talk about our identity, this is our collective identity as followers of Jesus, that we are ambassadors for Christ. And so we heard the verse. It was so cool to have the young man share that verse. But let's read this together. I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:20 should be on the screen here. But this is the Chi Alpha passage. And I just want to break it down a little bit with us today. So it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Have you ever thought about this word ambassador? Maybe you've seen this passage before, but that God would entrust us with his message of reconciliation, that we could be a representation of him, an ambassador. I think it's an incredible picture that Paul's painting here, and I think it's good always to get the context of a verse. Let's read around it a little bit here, and hopefully this will sink in even deeper for you. Check this out. Verse 17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're new creations. The old has come. Again, thinking about identity, this is who we are. We've been made new. You know, we're a child of God. I love that worship song we were saying there. We're no longer slaves to fear, right? We're fearless because we know our identity. We're children of God. When that goes from our head to our heart, we can live fearlessly. And look at this too, that fact that, again, that this fancy word of reconciliation is just that we can bring people back into right relationship with him. We can share that message of reconciliation. That's that we've experienced that. And this title of ambassador. When I thought of ambassador as a kid hearing that word, I would just picture some guy like sitting in a room, having tea with some international person, you know. But when I looked into the job description of an ambassador, it's intense. You know, these folks, they live in places that are sometimes enemies of the kingdoms that they represent, right? They're dangerous, difficult places. Their lives, their families are affected by their career choice. But these ambassadors, they find tremendous value in what they do. I actually found a couple quotes from ambassadors throughout history here. This ambassador, Prudence Bushnell, that's an ambassador name right there. They were called to do ambassador work. There you go. But this is what Prudence says. She says, when you go out into the countryside representing the most powerful country in the world as the personal representative of the most powerful human being in the world, the President of the United States, and you meet someone who is different from you in every way, shape, and form, and you connect. It doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, it's just amazing. You see that passion that she has for what she does? Building relationships with people who are different than her. And we know ambassadors, they work closely with the leaders of the foreign governments, right, to secure these key alliances and lasting relationships. Their goal is actually friendship. Check out this ambassador from Japan, Howard Baker. He says, I go out of my way as an ambassador, as the president's representative, as the presence of the U.S. in this country to make sure that the Japanese understand that not only are our two countries allies, but we're friends. Yeah, again, the key job of a U.S. ambassador or another ambassador is relationships, maintaining a healthy relationship with the country they represent, and building relationships in the foreign places that they live. I know this is a simple concept probably for you here today, but I think it's, again, when we understand what that means as representation of Christ, what we have, our job assignment, it's profound. It's pretty special that we get to represent and build relationships. Look at Philippians 3:20. It says, we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we're eagerly waiting for him to return as Savior. I mean, that's our kingdom, right? That's where we're, you know, I think we sang about that too. We're longing for our home. That's our real where we belong with him forever. But even Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that even right now we're seated with him in heavenly places. That's mysterious, right? But the fact that we've been united to Christ, that this is where we belong, that we that's the kingdom that we represent, right? Look at the Oxford definition of ambassador. It's a minister of the highest rank sent by the king of one kingdom to live as an alien in another, to speak for that king while he is there. You know, as followers of Christ, the king, you know, we are ministers of the highest rank, representing him, right? Sharing the king's message of reconciliation. I think in this culture, in this world, it's so easy to quickly lose sight of our identity, right? Just yes, personally, but also collectively. Just things are constantly battling, telling it, you know, you just feel it at times. That's why we gather here on a Sunday morning to remember the truth, again, who we are in Christ, to sing these songs reflecting on God's character and his nature. And again, to be reminded of our connection to our King. And maintain that healthy relationship with our Creator. And then just remember our responsibility to be an ambassador, to represent the Heavenly Father, to help others connect with him. So it's imperative that we stay connected because we got to represent him well, right? We don't want to speak something that the king doesn't authorize. You know, we get pulled off the field for something like that. So we need to know his kingdom, you know, his heart. And And obviously we have scripture for that, right? We need to have our ambassador manual, right? The word of God that we learn about God's character. We learn who Jesus is. And Jesus in the Gospels is talking about the kingdom all the time. Now, I love how the Apostle Paul describes the kingdom in Romans 14. Sometimes you get a little complicated. So what are we representing here? Look at this, 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom that we represent. You know, Paul's saying the kingdom of God is not a list of customs and rules that we need to try to enforce on the people around us, but it's a matter of carrying that righteousness, that we've been made right with God, that we can live in right living, and we can carry his peace and his joy in the circumstances and situations around us. So, yeah, as an ambassador of Christ, my first question for you this morning, what are you communicating from our King to the people around you? How well are you reflecting his righteousness, his peace, and his joy? You know, I look at this passage. You back up again at verse 19 in chapter 5, that this is what it says. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. I mean, the fact that God is ready to forgive anyone who comes to him, no matter what it is that they've done, that he's ready to bring that reconciliation. He's done all the work already. He's taken care of it. That's why we sing these songs about the cross, the blood of Jesus that makes us right. And that's what it's all about, the fact that he's done all the work. You know, Christianity is not about what we can do for God, but it's what he's done for us. You know, sometimes we get a little backwards as we follow Jesus sometime, but it's all coming back to what he has done for us. He's done the work of reconciliation. You know, sometimes I'll meet students on campus. They're like, "Hey, I'm not really into this God stuff," but I just quickly say, "Well, he's into you," you know, and just try to build that bridge and hope that they can see the love of God through relationship. You know, we never want people to feel like they're a project, that we're just trying to reach them and so we can share some story at a church service, right? It's like we want to genuinely love people, and I think that's all of our job assignments, right? Just love and show the love of God as ambassadors. To connect with people, to build trust, just like these U.S. ambassadors, building relationships and friendships. Just a second question here. Will you be purposeful in representing the love of God as an ambassador? I got to brag on an alumni here who actually attended church here. I don't know if Leah came out this morning. I think I saw the fiancés here. Isn't he here? Is Joshua here? Yeah. I thought he was on the keys this morning, right? Yeah. Congratulations again. But when Leah was a student at UC Davis, boy, she did this well. Actually, we had our senior dinner on Friday night. We had about 30 of our seniors in our home, had a Chipotle dinner together, and just shared testimonies of what God had done in their 4 years. And these were the students that we met in the pandemic. They were the ones that were online, or the few that came to UC Davis in person but took their classes online. And again, we're meeting outdoors at our property there. But one of the students, she shared how Leah was her chem tutor, and Leah would had 10 students that she would tutor in chemistry, and Leah shared the gospel with her, brought her to a service, she gave her life to the Lord, and now Haley is her name, she's going to do our campus missionary and training program next year, all from just being purposeful of being an ambassador. Another story about Leah, and I love this story let me tell the story. So Leah's in the chem lab one day, and she sees this international student, April, who's like frantic about she forgot her socks that day for the chem lab. Apparently you can't have skin exposed in the chemistry lab. I was a communication major. I didn't know that. Never took a chemistry class. But Leah's watching the situation go down. You know, she just happened to be there. And she approaches this student. She's an international student from Shanghai. Her name was April. And the stranger to Leah says, "Hey, do you want my socks?" And Leah proceeds to take her socks off her feet and give them to April so she can go get, her chem lab done that day and not get a zero. I don't know if the tutor that day or the lab tech was having a bad day, because moments later, April came back out of the lab, and the leggings she was wearing were not appropriate lab attire. So Leah had enough wherewithal to go to the Glory House where she lived and got a pair of pants for the student here. She wasn't that generous. But and April's like stunned, like, why are you so kind to me? Why are you doing all this? And they actually went to dinner that night, and Leah just shared with April the gospel, and just shared the hope of Jesus. Just said, "This is why I do things like this, because the love of God has changed me, and I want to show that to others." And April came to our worship service that night, and she gave her life to Jesus. And I found out later that she went back to China. She got baptized, and all from a pair of socks. So I mean, you could be an ambassador with a pair of socks. Man, I always just tell people, you see a need, you fill it, right? And that's what Leah did that day and changed her life. And so super proud of her, and she's so fun. And she knows that I tell that story everywhere, too, because it's just incredible to me. But, okay, so just summing things up, how do we be better ambassadors? Again, one, we need to first know our King, right? And through that, we need a scripture, right? We learn about who God is, who Jesus is. We have to know our ambassador manual. And secondly, we need that daily debriefing with the King, and that's called prayer, right? Just hearing his heart, waiting on the Lord, and being in a place to hear from God. And then from there, we can do our best to communicate the message of hope of Jesus to the people around us as citizens of heaven, where we really belong. And this is my encouragement, just thinking again, as you guys are going after identity, just remember this collective identity that we all have, not just Chi Alpha missionaries, but we are all ambassadors of Christ, that we get to represent him in the places of influence that he's placed us, whether that be in our own families or our workplace, or just being out at the grocery store, if we see something, and just being attentive to the work of the Holy Spirit around us. Because people, I do believe, are ready, even though sometimes we hear all the other messages, that there is a work that God is doing in our day, and he's invited us to be a part of it, to be messengers of reconciliation. You guys want to be better ambassadors? Right on, come on. Well, I'd love to pray for you this morning, and if you want to go ahead and bow your heads, we'll do that daily debriefing with our King here. And I have three questions just to lead us in a time of reflection, and in a moment we'll have our prayer partners come to the front to make some space to pray with you individually as well. But just thinking of this message, it's a simple message today, but simply that, you know, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. That's the message of reconciliation. You know, God's not at war with us. He's made a way for peace through his Son. And maybe some of you here, you have never known that reconciliation. You haven't really experienced God's peace and that forgiveness, that freedom from that weight of shame and sin, from the places where we just have not, you've not done life God's way, and you want to get right with God. Today is your day. And the King of love, Jesus, he's here, he's near. And all you have to do is just tell him, just say, I receive what you've done for me, Jesus. The scripture says that again, this is what I read in 1 John 1:9, if we confess that he'll forgive us from all unrighteousness. So that that's you this morning, there'll be people to pray with you, and you can just come forward and receive prayer and just say, I want to get right with God. I want to receive that reconciliation that Jesus made possible. And secondly, there's probably some people here that you're feeling challenged to walk in your identity as an ambassador, a minister of the highest rank. Kind of maybe thinking about your life, thinking about some areas where, man, it just has not lined up with that truth about who you are in Christ. And we know we have a King who's ready to forgive. He's ready to give you another shot. And I just want to encourage you today to bring that place before the Lord of repentance and bring a little correction, perhaps, where you have not been representing the King well. It's just doing better as an ambassador. And thirdly, maybe some people here are just feeling inspired that you are getting vision for how maybe you can even kind of create like an embassy for people to encounter God. Like maybe a place of influence or in your work, home, or maybe some of your students here in your dorm. You're like, I want to create a space for people to encounter God. And you're feeling, I just feel like some prayer about that as well. Maybe a creative thing that God is birthing in you. So if any of these three areas you just resonate with, I encourage you to take some time to pray where you're seated. But also there's people here in the front to their prayer partners, ready to just agree with you, to see you walk in this identity that Jesus has made possible, that he's invited us into, to be ambassadors and again, to receive that reconciliation that he's made possible. So let me go ahead and pray for us here. Yeah, Father, do thank you. Thank you for what you're doing here in this room and in this church, this collectively, as they are walking out and their identity in you, as you're speaking to them, even specific things, the things you've wired into them that you created them for. And I know that we are all called to this ministry of reconciliation, that we can be ambassadors. It's not about our performance. It's not about how well we can do this, but it's about what you have done. And we're just carriers of that message. So I pray for just a fresh boldness for everyone here who are followers of you, that they would leave this place this morning just with a greater desire to just shine, just to live out what you spoke. Just let there be light, that the light of Jesus would shine through their lives even brighter in the days we're living. I pray for great courage in this room. And God, for there's people here who are coming home to you, maybe a restart, a rededication of receiving your grace and your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that this would be a new beginning, a new start, that they would know that you've made them a new creation. God, come Holy Spirit, minister to those hearts. And God, I do pray you would just speak just dreams and vision for how we can do this, how we can live out as ambassadors. And creative things in our workplace, things in our, even better in our home, to raise up the next generation as parents, as grandparents, just how we can reflect you well to the people you've given us influence to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing here, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Just continue just to reflect with the Lord. This is our closing for today. You're free to go at your leisure. If you would like to receive prayer, there's some folks on the side. I'll make myself available as well. Again, so grateful for your church. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at UC Davis and around the world. God bless you guys.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. No, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through. My fears were drowned in perfect love. drown in perfect love. You rescued me, so I will stand and sing. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, no. I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child of God. I am a child.